recruiting Animal Show!
Sally, you sound like you have a co-worker in your throat today. You okay?
Dude, I don't need to start off with this, Mike. I'm about sick of it. You're almost on the edge of being banned from all this.
Oh,
tighten
boy.
It up, man. Tighten it up.
Oh, no.
Tighten it up. Be cool.
Okay. You guys don't fight, okay? But I want you to show, I want to tell you, even before I introduce the guests, that, you know, when I thought that Do Me a Solid had something to do with your intestines, I wasn't really that far from the truth. I looked it up on Google, and I found that one of the first things that came up was an article in Men's Health, and it was called Can You Do Me a Solid? And it, right under the title, they had a picture of a bathroom. And I also looked up Can You Do Me a Hard One, and it took me back to the definition for Can You Do Me a Solid? So anyway, that's that. I'll just add for everybody's information because I saw it. Men's Health also had an article, Jerry, called Can Your Laptop Hurt Your Family Jewels? And the answer was no. You can work with your laptop on your lap, and you don't have to worry that Wi-Fi is going to sterilize you. And Shirley Stickle, are you here?
Yeah, man. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Shirley. Thank you for calling in. Now,
I got awesome. Is the audio okay? I don't know if the audio
sounds
good.
Yeah, you're okay. You're not real.
You
you're not real loud. That's why I talked in a
voice.
Anyone
else hearing an echo?
Somebody else is a
okay,
bit fuzzy.
Right. I'll try to yell louder then.
Okay, that's good. Just put the phone near your mouth. That's a big secret on this show.
That's
okay?
A good start.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. I should do that.
Now, I got to tell you, Shally, I have an opening act for you. Really popular guy on this show. So I have to ask you to stand to the side for a few minutes. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Okay, now I heard a Dave Manister, I heard a tiny echo there. I don't know if that's someone's, it doesn't sound like someone's receiver or whatever. So I'm just going to let that go for the time being. Charles Chucky Krugel, are you here?
Yes, recruiting animal, I'm here.
Oh, don't sound so enthusiastic, okay? But this is a big return for a very popular guest. Charles Krugel is an employment lawyer. Am I right about that? Is that how you would characterize yourself, Charles?
Yeah, labor and employment law, both.
Labor and employment law in Chicago, in the United States, right?
Yep.
You're a lawyer extraordinaire on this show. You like coming here. And I told you that we have this new breaking news section at the front of the show, and you told me that if anyone has any questions from time to time, you're willing to come on for a few minutes and answer them as a warm-up act for the show, and I'm very happy about that, and I want to welcome you back, okay?
Thanks. Always glad to do a solid.
Great.
Excellent. Guys, paying attention.
Okay, first tell us your web address for your website.
Yeah, charlesakrugel.com.
How come you're not on Twitter? People are going to want to talk to you today about the, you know, you talk about you in Twitter, and there's no way to reference you.
I'm very insecure. I'm afraid I'll have zero followers.
Okay. I don't think so. Before I get going, does anybody who's on the show live today want to monitor Twitter for me? Any volunteers?
I'll do it.
You? Okay,
yeah,
fine.
Yeah.
But if somebody else wants to, pass it on to them, okay?
Anybody now, but Mike.
Oh,
I jumped in because I'm surprised he didn't jump on that.
I like Mike, okay? I'll say
hey,
it right
I
now.
Like Mike,
I like
too,
Mike.
But you figure a guy wanting a spot on the show would have seen an opportunity there and jumped on it.
Okay.
I wouldn't mind joining
the
lawyer should
a horrible after-show host.
Okay, we'll talk about that later. Now,
it's coming
now, listen,
to a head, Mike.
I got the question.
Today.
The question I have... The chat question I have for Chuck today is, I was at the Radical Planet Unconference in Toronto in September, and Fish Dogs was there, and he was telling us all about Foursquare, which I never use. But he said, look, if you're recruiting a certain kind of person, let's say an engineer, you go to Starbucks across the street from where their office is or in that neighborhood, you get there early, you go on Foursquare, you check in and say, I'm at this Starbucks interviewing this kind of engineer from 9 till 11 this morning. When these techies come on, they do go on Foursquare. They're going to, when they check into that location, that area, They're going to see your note. And he says it works. People will come to Starbucks and talk to you. And so my question was, can you get in trouble with the government by only checking into certain neighborhoods, because that means certain other neighborhoods that might have certain high concentrations of certain ethnicities or certain people with racial or religious backgrounds, if they're being neglected, are you going to get in trouble? Isn't that the question I put to you, Charles?
Yeah, it is.
It's pretty exotic, but it's not unrealistic, is it?
No, and actually I think you can get in some trouble. If you're in an area that is, well, if it's ethnically closed off, and, you know, like in Chicago historically, the south side has been predominantly black and the north side has been predominantly white. So, you know, you used to have redlining for mortgage areas, things like that.
What do you have? Redlining?
Redlining, they called it, where basically certain ethnicities cannot obtain financing in certain neighborhoods. So, you know, if basically a white neighborhood wanted to keep minorities out, whether it was Hispanics or blacks, they could do that by basically not allowing financing in that area. It's a softer sort of discrimination. I do think that the same problem can occur with this type of sourcing, where somebody's at a Starbucks, and let's say they're doing in-person interviews, and the Starbucks is not disability accessible.
Who would think of that? Man, that's really, I mean, what are you going to tell Starbucks to put in a ramp? I mean, that's
weird.
Well,
don't they all have to have that? I mean, don't all businesses have to have a disabled ramp or
no, it depends on whether or not it meets the essential and the reasonable accommodation requirement. And there are activists around the country, in Chicago, too, who go around from store to store in various neighborhoods trying to enter those stores, you know, if they're in a wheelchair or something like that, and they try to basically determine if disabled people can access those stores. And there's been a lot of controversy regarding older street front type stores in older neighborhoods. Whether or not that would be a reasonable...
I don't believe the recruiter can get in trouble for there not being a ramp in the store.
Yeah.
Well, and the other thing... Wait a second, Charles. The other thing is, couldn't the main excuse be, look, I'm looking for, and not really an excuse, but justification, I'm looking for this kind of person. I'm going to a Starbucks near their office, and that's what determines which Starbucks I go to, not the ethnicity of the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Is that going to be a good
defense? I think the real issue for recruiters, this is Don Kahn, the real issue for recruiters are cheap-ass recruiters that go into Starbucks and say that I'm here to interview, and they don't buy a freaking cup of coffee. They stack people up at tables around them and think it's their office, and they don't pay the company that they're working at. Buy a freaking cup of coffee if you're interviewing people.
Well, they do buy coffee.
Part of the problem nowadays is intentional versus unintentional discrimination. And really, do you encounter instances where you have intentional discrimination where people are like, I'm going to set up specifically in this neighborhood because I know that blacks and Hispanics and Indians and other non-whites won't frequent that location. Usually it's more of a secondary kind of thing where basically after the fact you find out that, well, all the black people in this one particular area didn't have adequate access to public transportation and therefore couldn't make it to this one location, a Starbucks or whatever, in a suitable amount of time. Or maybe there was an accident that day.
Okay, but you know what? Last thing, because I got you don't know it, Charles, but you're on the show with the most famous guy in the recruitosphere, Jolly. He's our big man. Okay, I can't keep him on the sidelines too long. He might just disappear on me. Or he might get mad and ruin the show deliberately, okay? But the thing is, let's say you've got an office on the north side of Chicago, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can't get charged for that. You have to also have an office, a satellite office on the south side? I mean, no, that's ridiculous, right?
No, but I think there's time. There's basically there's time and space limitations where if you're not allowing people maybe enough time or you're only giving them a limited window of time or access to you, and that's due to location and due to the amount of time you're spending there. I think there could be a problem. If you're talking about
Would you take on a case? If I came to you tomorrow and said they don't, you know, they're not given time for me to get there. I'm an animal. They don't want me. Would you take on that case?
Well, I represent companies, so.
You represent companies.
Job fairs could do the same thing. I mean,
yeah, what about job fairs? That's a good question.
Yeah, but job fears, I mean, you're talking about something that may be held from 9 to 5 over the maybe on one or more days where people can get there at any given time, or maybe it's not locationally challenged. So, you know, on a context-to-context examination of this issue, if you're talking about a specific Starbucks that's in a locationally challenged area or kind of closed off where people from poorer areas can't access it or disabled people can't access it, and you're only there for a limited window of time, and due to all these limitations, you basically have 500 white males applying for the job, and you hire only one, you know, a white male, and then everybody else was basically eliminated from contention, you know, from being competitive for that job due to these time and place restrictions.
Okay, Shelly,
so what about
if
job requires internet
on.
And you're too poor to have a computer and not use the internet? Is that discrimination too?
It could be if it only impacts against against minorities, a certain group of people, disabled, military status, socioeconomic.
Well, anybody can access the internet if they pay the $12 a month, right?
Or
so if the job requires
library.
That you have experience with using Google on the internet, you could go to a library and use it for
exactly.
free. So, you know, how is that? It's the same kind of it's an access thing. That's not up to the employer to. You know, to provide access for the interview. If there's a ramp and there's facilities and people can get there in a car or in a bus, that's where the employer is. So if you happen to be in a Starbucks, what's the difference between a Starbucks and an office building on 10th Street?
Yeah,
well,
we already discussed that.
In the scenario you're talking about, there isn't that much of a difference. There isn't that much of a difference, but, you know, it's always an after-the-fact analysis, and we're not talking about intentional discrimination here. We're talking about basically an unintentional impact based on certain employment practices.
I could even picture like the opposite happening. Say you do have it in, say, a more urban area. What about the white guys
exactly.
that wouldn't want to go there to interview?
Sure. Yeah,
even though they are the majority, but
yeah,
they wouldn't want to go there because, you know, for a number of reasons.
Yeah, you could probably make a case for that too. It you know, depending on who ends up getting hired, it's always an after the fact analysis. That's what makes a lot of these issues so difficult, and dealing with some of these agencies so difficult too. Because a lot of these agencies, in my opinion, they're not interested in conciliation or trying to resolve the issues. They're just interested in getting the case through the process as fast as possible, and just meeting out whatever punishment is going to net them dollars or whatever.
Got you.
Okay. Judge Cherry, last thing. Are you going to give a rejoinder there, Jerry?
No, but I do want to give you a Twitter stream update.
Okay.
Research Goddess, Amy Beth Hale, is listening to
yeah.
the show.
Great.
And there's also a question. Avocados, are they poisonous to your pets?
Okay.
The answer might surprise you.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. Now, Charles Krogel, anything else to say? I think that settles it.
I like avocados, though.
Okay. Now, I want you actually to stay for a second, Charles, because this guy we've got on the show, you might not know him, he might be useful to you. I want you to meet Shally. You know,
mm-hmm.
Bruce Springsteen used to call Clarence Clemens, before he died, the big man. And Shally is the big man in the recruiter sphere. And you know the song 10th Avenue Freeze Out? That's a song we're going to sing today. You're going to sing with me, Charles?
Sure, I'll sing with you.
Shally, are you going to sing? Shelly, are you still there? Did you leave already?
Hey, I'm here. I don't know that song, but I'll sing along.
All you got to do is shout out 10th Avenue Freeze Out. I'm going to play something from a Bruce Springsteen concert, and he's going to lead us through it. He always asks the audience to sing, right? He's going to
You got
say,
it. I'm in.
When the change was made uptown, the big man joined the band. Everybody goes crazy, and everybody goes crazy over Shelly as well. Okay, so we'll try this. Then we'll get it to all the stuff that people are really waiting for here. Charles, you can hang up after we go. We'll say goodbye to you, but thank you for coming on. If someone's got a question, a legal question for Charles, send it to me, and we'll book him again. Here we
Thanks.
Go, everybody. There's a little intro, so you don't have
Thanks,
to worry.
Charles.
But when he starts shouting, 10th Avenue Freeze Out, we got to shout too. Okay, go on.
They made that change of town, and a big man joined the band. The little planet, raise the hand, raise them up now. Or is it backtrack easy and left? When Scooter and a big man buzzes, sit in his head.
begging you to sing. Where were you, Shally? You embarrassed me.
Where were you?
I'm sorry.
I was shouting there. Charles, thank you very much. You can stay or you can go. It's up to you, but hope to have you back soon.
Thanks, R.A. Talk to you later.
Okay. R.A., you hear that? Okay.
All right.
Shally.